what I have just heard is worth all of the problems and everything else that would hinder me from coming and being with you tonight. I could go home pleased. Such a wonderful discourse in such a plain, positive way. In the closing verses of the ninth chapter of the Hebrew letter, we find these expressions, beginning with the 24th verse. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Brothers and sisters, there's enough in that to talk for hours and still not get it all said. But I would like to be enabled by the grace of God to speak of some few things that hope to be able to bring to your to our attention, that in a way that God's name would be honored, and that you, his people, might be instructed and edified in what we speak of. The last two verses, 27th and 28th verse, is really the embraces, really the major part of what I hope to speak of. But there is some expressions leading up to those verses that I want to take a little time at least to talk about. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. There can be no question who the he is. It's talking about Christ. But now, once in the end of the world. Well, let me draw back to the beginning of that verse, not the beginning of the sentence. That sentence begins way on up there. Anyway, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world. Most of my life in reading the Bible and reading the word world, I automatically assumed what the world, what is embraced in the world here is the earth. But some time ago, several years ago, I began to see the necessity of looking at every word in the sentence and the meaning of each word. And by doing that, I learned some things that I had missed and skipped over. What world is under consideration here? Is it talking about this earth that but now once in the end of the world? The earth's still here. We're still living. Can't be talking about that. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. What world's under consideration there? The same world. It's not talking about this earth. In either place. I want to take just a few moments here to get before you something that has been very beneficial to me in the last 8 or 10 years, and that is about the word world as it is used in the scriptures, not as we use it in our daily conversation. If I make the sentence, there is a world of people living upon this earth. Is that a good sentence? Agree with that? If I leave the phrase of people out of that sentence, would it still be true? There is a world living on this earth. All I've done is taken the phrase of people. The phrase of people identifies the world that lives upon this earth. And that world is people. My friends, every time you see the word world in the scriptures, it's talking about people, not this earth. Again, I pose a question. Is there a difference, or is the earth and the world of people living upon it the same thing? Of course they're not. Can they ever be the same thing? Of course not. Can they ever be separated? Of course not. Why? Because God made the earth for the world to live on. And this earth is the only place that world can live. There is no other place in the universe where mankind can exist and live. Therefore, God created this earth for God's people to live upon, and that now. The world is under consideration here. For then must ye often have suffered since the foundation of the world. What's the world? The world of mankind, and in particular in this particular word, it's talking about the world of John 3:16. That's what God created this earth for. John 3:16, God so loved the world, not the earth. God so loved the world of his people, that he did all of this for and prepared this earth, created it, brought it into existence, put everything on it that man could possibly think about and need as a place for mankind to live. And it was perfect. I could go to a lot more than that. Now, just what is the world, just briefly, those two worlds. For then must ye all for it have suffered since the foundation of the world. What is the foundation of the world of mankind? Isn't it the everlasting covenant? That gets in the more and more deeper, more I'm saying, the more deeper in it. And 2 Samuel says, the Lord speaking, for he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, which is all my salvation and all my desire, and though never make it to grow. That's the foundation, my friends, of the work of God. Fixing this earth as a place for mankind to live, because God loved a portion of mankind to such an extent that he sent his Son into this world to take their place and make it possible through his suffering and death to live with God in glory. So when we read the first verse of the Bible, in the beginning God created what? The heaven and the earth. Most of my life, I would, even looking at it, I would quote it, God created the heavens and the earth, or the world, as we so often think of it. That very first verse, in the beginning, God. Oh, and when you say that, you said all of it as far as that's concerned. Yet, I want you to notice, it does not say, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. It says heaven. All that is embraced in that first sentence is just simply this earth and all of the atmosphere that's around it. That's the heaven that surrounds this earth. And all of it was done with an eye to the conclusion of it, of which we, this brother, has, as well as others, have been speaking about it. Now, again, I didn't intend to get into it to that extent, but it's in connection with the other thing up here. So, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, and that foundation is the everlasting covenant. And the word world, end of the world that's under consideration here, was the world of the Jewish nation of people. That's the world that's under consideration here. It came to an end. When? When Titus, the general of the Roman army, destroyed that temple, everything, and the nation of people of the nation of Israel, that's the world is here, it came to an end. That's, with all of my heart, I believe that's what's under consideration. And if you get used to thinking, when you see the word world in the scriptures, that is talking about some kind of people. Sometimes it's talking about a world of the ungodly. In fact, you can go, John 3:16, the world that God loved. The same writer over in the first letter says, love not the world. For if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Now, what world is that? That's the ungodly world. You take that ungodly world and the world of John 3:16, you've got the whole world of mankind living upon this earth. I must go on. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared. Who is the he? Got to be Christ. Appeared. Once in the end of the world, hath he appeared. And the word appeared here carries the thought of just a very short time. He didn't come to stay very long. In fact, literally, somewhere around 33 years. But only about three years of those was when he was doing his teaching, when he appeared to the people that lived at that time and telling them who he was, and most of them rejected it. But nevertheless, he took to once in the end of the world hath he appeared, and I want to emphasize this, to put away sin. That doesn't say put away sins. There's a difference between sin and sins. Sin is a noun, just like life is a noun. Anyway, not to pay for anything right here. Now, certainly we know that scripture in the very beginning of the New Testament. He shall save them from their sins. Now, there's sins. This is sin. What did he appear in this world to do? To put away sin. Just to pay for the sins doesn't remove the cause of sins. Sin is the cause of sins. If sin is put away, there is no sins. That's what Christ did. He came for that purpose. Did he put it away? Yes. Then the sins put away, there can't be any more sins. From a legal, lawful standpoint, that's what he did. I know sin still exists. I fight it every day of my life. But it can't touch me anymore. If Christ was made to be my sin, which the scriptures plainly tells us, closing verses of the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians, for he made him to be sin. So much embraced in this. And then again, I used to quote it differently. For he made him to be sin. I used to say Christ became sin. He didn't. He was made to be sin. And it was absolutely necessary that he was made to be sin, that we might be made, and I emphasize the word made again, not become. We were made the righteousness of God in him. That's what he came to do. Did he do it? Yes. He took sin with him. When he, when he left this old world. One of the ministers in the beginning of this service spoke of when he was lifted up. My friends, he took sin with him. Legally, remember. All of this legal work. Now, the last two verses, which I really had intended to spend most of my time on. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. How many times have you attended a funeral service and someone passed away? And during what is being said at this service, talk about this person is gone. But someday he's going to have to stand before God's judgment bar after death and answer for his sins. Big story about that. My friends, no child of God is going to have to stand before God's judgment bar after death. That's not what that verse says. For years, I troubled with that. And finally, it dawned on me that it's not saying what I had always thought it was saying. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after death, the judgment, that doesn't say death there. What does it say? This. The word this. Not a difference in the word this and the word death. What's it saying? Well, look at the beginning of that sentence. What is the subject matter of that sentence? The appointment to die. Isn't that the subject of that sentence? And as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. This what? The appointment to death. That's what it is after. Where does that judgment take place? Well, let's go back to the Roman letter that we go to so much, and I'm glad of it. I'm glad it's there. And I thank God for some of the things that I've been enabled to see of some of these things. 12th verse, 5th chapter, Roman letter. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now that plainly tells us where sin came from. Adam did it to us, my brethren. Now I'm going to skip 13 down through 17. Those verses are in parentheses, which means it is not a continuation of what the 12th verse is saying. Now, I want to emphasize what is said in those verses is good, it's true, it's needful, and it tells us something about what has happened or will happen and so forth. But notice at the end of the 12th verse, it does not have a period. It has a colon, which means there's a continuation of that sentence. Where does it continue? with the 18th verse. So I'm going to read the 12th verse and then drop down to the 18th verse. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered in the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Therefore, because of this 12th verse and what it tells us, therefore, by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. There's the judgment. We stood in the judgment of God in the morning of time, condemned as a result of what Adam did. It got the whole human race. We're in that condition. And if this is stopped there, and nothing else ever said about it, we'd still be in a Okay. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, just like we would come under condemnation as a result of what one man did, here's something else. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. And then notice the 19th verse. For, as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. We come into this world already a sinner. Practice sinner? No. But a sinner because we got the same nature that Adam had after he sinned. And that's a condemned situation and circumstance for us. Now, for by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. How many? Everyone that has come from the following of Adam's beginning of life. From because Adam had a sinful nature when he begot children, they got the same nature, passed it right on to you and I. So we come into this world already a condemned sinner, not because of what we done, but because of what Adam did. Then we've got the little word so, which means in the same way. So by the obedience of one, many shall be made righteous. How many? Just everyone that's in the one that was obedient. Who is that? Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, much more could be said in connection with that. Let's come back now to those closing verses. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this appointment to death, the judgment, and as a result of that, we've got the little word so again. So Christ was offered to bear the sins of many. How many? All that God loved. All that was given to Christ. All that's embraced in John 3:16. If there's not any difference in the word earth and word world, let's look at John 3:16 just briefly. If the two words mean the same thing, then let's just change it a little bit. God so loved the earth that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, anyway, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. How many? Again, all that was in Christ, given to Christ. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Are you looking for him? Do you believe that that man that was born of a virgin woman and never known man, that baby grew up and proved that he was truly the Son of God? Do you believe that? Do you believe what this brother preached just before me and the hope that we have as a result of the suffering of the death of the Son of God? As he hung on the tree of the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Incidentally, that's the only place in the Bible where Christ called his Father God. Every other time when Christ was speaking to his Father, he called him the Father. But right at that instance, he called him his God. Why? Because God had made him to be sin as he hung on the tree. Not something like sin, but made him to be sin. And God hates sin. Therefore, for a period of time, we don't know how long, doesn't make any difference, long or short. The fact is, God made his Son to be sin, and he poured out the suffering of eternal hell upon the body and soul of his Son, Jesus Christ. Go to the 53rd chapter of Isaiah and get that description back there. It'll give you a vivid description of what the Son of God was suffering while his Father forsook him for a while. And then you read also of the result of it. That's a whole new subject. But now look at it. The two verses, 27th, 28th verse. And I wish I could get, or we could get, all of God's people to see this and understand it. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. If you're looking for him, you're going to see him. You're going to see his face, brother, in the fullness of his glory. And again, remember what this brother said just a little while ago of the glory that will be. One other point, and I bring this to a close. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Shall appear what? The second time. Sometimes we hear men say, Christ went up and down, up and down. If this appearing that the brother talked to us about is the second time, it can only be one other time. And that's when he was made flesh and dwelled among us. This time he'll come in the fullness of his glory. will seem like it is, like it is, will be changed. Our body will be changed from mortal to immortal and reunited with that soul and spirit that has been with God since we died. Since we died. That'll be soul and body reunited together. It's going to be you and me, my friend. It's going to be there. How is it all to be? I don't know. But we'll know when we're there. May God bless you.